Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey there, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. As always, I'm your host, Craig Israel, along with my co-host, Eric Krylo.
I'm here, as usual.
And today, Eric, we have our continuing series of articles that are drawn from our trends book. Again, that's the publication that we put out twice a year that talks about some of the trends in marketing that we've been following for the last several months, how they are going to impact our clients and marketers in general. So today's topic is pulled, ripped from the headlines, as it were, from one of those articles. And we'll be talking about voice search in particular today, which I find kind of fascinating. And as topic matter experts, we have two special guests in the studio with us.
Just two?
Oh, I misspoke. We have three topic matter experts. First, Michael Liskowski, optimization specialist.
How's it going?
And Maggie Babuder, also optimization specialist.
You okay over there?
It's a tough word. It's a big word. And also in the studio, we have Alexa. Alexa, introduce yourself.
I'm Alexa, and I'm designed around your voice. You can ask me to play music, answer questions, get the weather and sports scores, create to-do lists, and much more.
So it sounds like the most robotic and boring guest of all time. Is that who we have on the show today?
So before we jump into the topic, yeah, Maggie or Michael, why don't you, tell our listening public, who is Alexa?
So she's going to pick up. Yep. So basically what Alexa is a artificial intelligence software. The actual hardware is Echo, Amazon's Echo. And Alexa is the personality that they put inside for us to interact with at home, primarily at home. And we can ask it questions and, like she said, make to-do lists, play music, all kinds of stuff, make it easier for you to interact with your home, essentially.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. It's some technology that we've been playing with at ThunderTech for a couple months now. For our listeners, if you've never seen it, physically it's a black cylinder about a foot tall. I still want to say that it's like a human-sized robot, right? but that's not really the case. So it's pretty cool. It sits on a desk, and you can speak to it, and it will give you answers. It'll play music. It'll do a bunch of different stuff. So pretty interesting technology, and it features what we're talking about today, voice search. So why don't we get into it? Michael, Maggie, what's voice search? What's it all about?
Well, voice search, I guess you could say, kind of started out with Siri. Right now it's based on local search. If you're out somewhere looking for directions and you're unsure of the location, you can ask Siri, where is the closest Italian restaurant? Or anything of that sort.
So Siri, of course, is Apple's voice recognition software that came pre-installed on the iPhone, it's been a couple generations ago now.
Probably.
5 years?
Yeah. iPhone 4, so maybe late generation iPhone 3.
So you can just talk to it, and it has access to your contacts, your music, the internet, all that stuff. And it tries to find the best answer to your question.
Yep, pretty much.
So I guess my question would be why? You know, why are they jamming women's voices into electronics? why do we care? Like, why is that a thing that companies are doing now?
I think the short answer is, honestly, people are pretty lazy. They want answers instantaneously to their questions. We were playing around with Alexa a little bit before this and asking her simple questions like the weight of a human brain and stuff like that. You know, people want to know information very quickly and hands-free, especially if you're traveling, driving. You want to know as easily as possible where to get, how to get there, and, what you're going to do when you do get there.
So to answer the question, we all know that the human head weighs 8 pounds. We learned that from Jerry Maguire.
Not from Alexa.
Correct. So we know that, but what is it about people? Is it truly the laziness that they're not typing these things in, or is it more of the convenience and the safety since a lot of folks are doing these types of searches while driving?
Well, it could be a bit of both. I would say safety is probably the most important. You don't want to be, texting and driving or using your phone and driving. With Bluetooth technology in cars. You know, you can speak to your phone and ask where the nearest, you know, bar is if you're looking for that. So I think safety is probably the most important, but obviously people can have some fun with Siri and, you know, talk to her and have a full conversation.
Yeah, and I think part of it at first was honestly just the novelty. You know, oh my gosh, you can talk to your phone like a Star Trek computer. You know, that's where, that's, you know, if you think of what's the main guy in Star Trek?
The Captain
Darth
Kirk?
Captain Kirk, yes, thank you.
The main
I'm
guy.
Not a Trekkie. I'm not a Trekkie. I just know, you know, if you think of Captain Kirk talking to the Star Commander, right?
Stop.
Okay. Stop. that was, you know, exactly
Star Commander.
Where it came from.
I don't even know what that means.
All right, at least he's Eric's with me there. But, you know, that's really where it came from. People were fascinated with being able to talk to a computer and have it talk back to you and give you simple answers. And now they can do that and get even more complex answers.
So, you know, it's you're right that I hadn't really thought about it, that the Star Trek technology of speaking into the air and having the computer speak back to you, I guess, started with Star Trek. But it's very much a reality, right? We can talk to our cars. We can talk to Alexa when she's sitting on the desk. I can talk to my phone. I guess I hadn't thought of it as cutting-edge technology, but I suppose it is.
So, and I think it is, and I think the more it evolves and the more applications for it, I think that's when we'll really start to see that more of that innovation, and probably would feel more futuristic, if you will. But novelty of this aside, how is voice search contributing to the overall search engines and how they produce results? So I think the right term is algorithm. How does it affect or does it impact that algorithm?
So, you know, speaking as a SEO and optimization specialist, you know, Michael and I work on optimizing web pages and websites for our clients all the time. And, you know, basically where you start is with a list of keywords. Well, you throw voice search into a specific topic, whether you're talking about ordering a pizza for a pizza website or you're talking about shopping for Nike shoes. The way that somebody interacts with a search engine with their voice versus the way that they are physically touching the keyboard is much different. First of all, you have the naturalization of the speech component. You know, the way that you're going to speak into your phone looking for a pair of Nike shoes is much lengthier and much more natural sounding as if you were asking a friend than if you're simply typing in Nike shoes size 9 into a search engine. So now when we're optimizing web pages and websites, we have to think about that. You know, how are people going to interact with the web page and how are we going to get it to rank higher? And you know, it's just throwing kind of a whole new set of words and concepts into making a website optimized for search.
So tell me, how are people searching differently when they're using a voice compared to typing? Because I would think if I was going to ask Siri for find me shoes, that's exactly what I would say. Find me, you know, white Converse size 11. Are people like, Siri, find me those shoes I like?
It's those simple, like, prepositions. So if you're typing into a search engine on your desktop computer or even on your mobile phone, you're going to say Nike white shoes size 9, or you're going to go to Zappos website and browse yourself. If you're asking Siri, you're going to say find me white size shoes women's, you know, or white size 9 shoes women's, maybe from Zappos. And right there, you're going to basically skip the search engine results page and go right to a Zappos website. And it's just those simple little prepositions that are being added into the mix that you, Craig, are going to speak different than Eric is going to ask for maybe that exact same pair of shoes. And you add 10,000 customers for one pair of shoes on Zappos and look at the optimization, you know, kind of problem you have.
So to that end then, how has the way you approach optimizing on-page content changed as a result of this, you know, of the voice search? And because it seems to me like it truly is a switch, and it seems like it's something that, you know, as it grows and becomes more prevalent and becomes more impactful and more people use it, how would your approach change for that?
So I think, first of all, it's just, you know, kind of thinking about things in terms of how anyone in your life would look for an individual product, you know, and listing out instead of just, you know, for instance, like if you're searching for a vacation package, you're going to go to the Bahamas this winter. Typically, if you would search in a search engine results or in Google, you might type Bahama vacation packages.
I think the right word is Bahamian. Bahamian. Would that be correct?
Vacation packages. So now, to add kind of that naturalization when you're optimizing your vacation package web page, you're going to put more naturalized sounding terms. So best Bahamian vacation packages for the family. You know, just adding kind of simple prepositions and small words in there that people might associate with a Bahama vacation package, relaxing, just making those searches a little bit longer as well. You know, the average voice search query is up to 3 times longer than a desktop or typing search query.
And it's not always about the content on the page. While that is important, it's really how the technology is evolving. Right now, Google is actually reading romance novels to their voice search in the voice search part of their app. And by doing this, it's adjusting. You know, it's adding a different type of language. So
I see where this is going. Yeah. Sexy Google searches.
Is this going to be our first NSFW podcast? So did they give, like, and I'm assuming you read this, you know, on the interwebs in an article or something, did they give a reason why romance novels over any other novels or anything? Like,
they said it has a very loose vocabulary.
It's not the only thing that's loose. But morals. Yeah. I'm talking people's morals.
I'm on the same page.
It's a wide range of vocabulary, and it really, you know, adjusts the way people talk. You know, as we've mentioned before, you know, what we type into a search engine is different than what we speak.
So let me ask, and I know you guys aren't like coding this, right? You don't work at Google. You're not doing that back end stuff. But I guess my assumption was that voice search, that Google just took in and plugged in the things in an algorithm that fit and then just discarded the prepositions and the transitional verbs and stuff that weren't really relevant to the search. Are you saying that the algorithm is actually taking these things into account?
Well, I mean, before it was very algorithm-based. You know, search results were extremely algorithm-based. It was if this, then that, and, you know, much more complicated than that. Like you said, I'm not a Google engineer. You know, now they're taking into this whole concept of artificial intelligence, of machine learning based on user behavior. So your past behavior and your past location and your past searches are going to impact your future search results and your future, you know, location cards that'll come up depending on where you are, where you've been. They're serving up things based on machine learning of all about you.
Which is terrifying to think about if it gets really good, because I think, you know, obviously Skynet taught us why that's a bad thing for machines to become self-aware.
Well, not just that the next time I'm searching for something via my phone, I don't want my phone to be like, Craig, can we recommend a Playboy subscription to you? And I'd be like, what are you talking about, Siri?
I just renewed, right?
That's why they invented the incognito window.
So one of the things I find, you know, really interesting, the more we dive into this, are the applications for it. So are there any brands that you guys can think of or examples you could talk about, whether it's, you know, a standard site, e-commerce site, anything like that, of where this is this type of search is being incorporated and how that's being used?
Well, Google Shopping is the main one, specifically with sites like Amazon and Zappos. If you're looking for a pair of shoes, Zappos is probably one of the first things that come up. Alexa is very based around, she turned on, hey Alexa, she's based around Amazon. So, you know, if you look for something, you know, it's going to be a book on Amazon or anything that's sold on Amazon. Whereas if you're looking for other items that are from a different vendor, Google Shopping within the search app is probably the best bet.
So let me ask about that. So Alexa is a it's an Amazon product, right?
Correct.
So is it artificially skewing the results? Because you're right. If I asked for a book or a movie or whatnot, I would assume that it would look from the Amazon collection first before going out to, you know, to other vendors. Is this artificially skewing the results?
So the thing with Alexa is, yeah, if you are looking to shop, you have to have an Amazon Prime account, and that's what she's going to pull from. So
yeah, I can't have the man telling me where to shop.
I think the basis with when she first came out was, you know, if you're in your house and you find out that you have no toilet paper left, you can ask her to reorder your toilet paper that you're always ordering from Amazon Prime. So that was kind of where the shopping aspect came in. As she gets more advanced, and just as, you know, Siri and other voice search applications get more advanced, they are integrating more and more apps. So, for instance, with, you know, the newest generation of Echo that recently came out, you can ask it to ask a specific app a question. So, for instance, you know, a lot of people now have the, you know, control your lights in your home and control your air conditioning in your home. You can ask it to specifically ask that app to turn your lights off in your bedroom. So it's just kind of, as technology advances and the app integration becomes more and more of a trend and more of a thing, that's where you're going to get the more fully functional, well-rounded capabilities.
This app collusion, Craig, I don't like it. All of this voice stuff to me just sounds very scary in theory based on what it's capable of doing.
And well, 10 years from now, it's going to be you.
But think of the comedic sitcom Gold, because I'm sure you'll see those plots where somebody says something out loud and then, you know, it locks all the doors and they can't get out or it, you know, this has Full House, wacky shenanigans written all over it.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, the bigger this becomes, maybe it ends up being just, you know, the Odd Couple, the third rendition, and it's, you know, a human and a device. Or and it's like, just those two and their hijinks all day.
Or like Pat from Smart House, if you've ever seen that movie or any of our listeners have seen that movie, where she was a computer in the house and she basically became a hologram and was integrated fully into their lives and cleaned up their kitchen floor and did everything that they asked of her.
90s kids.
Yeah. Down with that. Okay, so while the voice recognition technology is new and it continues to evolve, this is something that we, ThunderTech, are providing to our customers right now, right? I mean, when we go through our optimization process, we're already taking this into account.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So if I'm a middle market client and I'm looking to make sure that my site is optimized for, you know, Siri or Alexa or whatnot, what suggestions would you have? What questions do I need to ask of my marketing firm to make sure that I'm doing everything right?
Well, I think first of all, I mean, you aren't necessarily operating or optimizing for the personality. It's more of the software. So for Siri, she pulls from Bing. I don't know if anybody knows that, but
is that right?
That is correct.
I didn't think Bing was still even a thing.
Drop a knowledge bomb, Zach. we'll add that in production. Post-production.
In order to appear in those search results, you know, you want to be optimizing for, you know, general search engine best practices. So Bing, Google, those are the two biggest that are going to be pulled from. For something like Amazon's Alexa, it's going to be, you know, she pulls from Amazon's web database, which is all sorts of different things. But it is something that we are doing for our clients, or that we are anticipating for, by following current SEO best practices now, but kind of tweaking those a little bit to just kind of bump them along with the trend as it moves into 2017.
All right, final thoughts, anyone?
I'm still a tad skeptical, but I think I can understand how this could be used effectively moving forward, and I'm anxious to see, because if Siri can become more helpful than she already is, which would be a feat in and of itself, I think I'd be ready to accept that.
I wonder what Alexa thinks of Siri and Siri thinks of Alexa. Alexa, how do you feel about Siri?
I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
I guess she's irrelevant.
So let me ask, Siri, what do you think of Alexa?
I really couldn't say.
I think reading between the lines, we don't get along. We know what Siri's really saying.
So next podcast is Siri versus Alexa and just a robot off. Is that?
Tune in next time when Robot Wars continues on Thundercast. Okay, that's it for our podcast. As always, if you enjoyed what you heard today, subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast. While you're on iTunes, if you could stop and write a review, that would help us out. We'd appreciate it. Again, this is part of a series of articles that are tied into what you can find in our trends book. If you want to get your hands on that publication, you can go to thundertech.com/trends, where you can download a digital version, get the ebook, or even request the actual honest-to-God print version that you can hold in your hands. If you have any questions or there's a topic you'd like to hear on a future podcast, you can always reach out to us at our website, thundertech.com. All right, thanks for listening.